Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals to talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew, guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show. They are back, Secret Service Special Agents in Charge. We got Rich Deripoli and Frank Loveridge, so thanks, guys, so much for being back on the show. Again, they are not allowed together on national media, and you guys are soon about to find out why. A shout out to our sponsors. We've got our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com, also ComplianceTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. And thanks to them, we've been on satellite since back in May. Also, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our arms sponsor. We have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.life, SafeguardRecruiting.com, and they're our streaming sponsor. And thanks to Safeguard, we're streaming to over a million followers right now. And also twobells.com. They built a new online store at leoroundtable.com and fishorlandobass.com. Zach has got a bass fishing charter. And hey, he's giving guys options that are having to take the wife, the family, the kids, the grandkids to Disney World. Drop off the family, guys, and head over, hook up with Zach at fishorlandobass.com and do the bass fishing charter. Or if you're feeling very adventurous, like we know Frank is, you can do the alligator hunting. You can catch and relocate alligators. Get that on film next time. I want to see pictures of the scars, Frank. So anyhow, hook up with Zach. Shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying the content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and our very own Travis Yates with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. And guys, here's what we're going to be talking about today. We got some great titles. And hey, with Rich and Frank on the show today, this is going to be spectacular. It's been one of those rare shows to where it's just everything's firing on all cylinders. So FBI releases new footage of the 2021 DNC RNC pipe bomb suspect. There's a $500,000 reward for that that's been renewed. There's been some new stuff involving that. We want to get up to speed on that case. And then remember that hunting stand that they found in the line of sight of Air Force One down by Mar-a-Lago? We're going to be talking about that. We've also got NYPD detective removed from a Ryder Cup after a security breach incident. That's interesting. Then we got a man arrested for allegedly aiming the laser at Marine One with President Trump on board. Not to mention the fact that Antifa and these other organizations are looking to start using lasers like in the Portland area against, you know, cops and medvacs and all this other stuff. Then we got Secret Service agent. He tried to sneak his wife on board a Trump support plane. We never covered that one. And then the stories with video components, we got body cam footage released of a shootout during a pursuit on I-84. That just happened. Then Marion County deputy used a taser to arrest a wanted felony suspect who walked away from a traffic stop. That was a bad dude when you hear what was on his rap sheet. Also, man armed with a replica firearm fatally shot when he runs towards a San Diego police officer. I'll bet he'll never do that again. And then we have a canine bite story from North Las Vegas police, if we have time to get to that. So again, guys, we can take anything out of order if you want. If you don't mind, I'm going to go and start off with the pipe bomb story from RVM, which is redvoicemedianews.com. FBI releases new footage of the 2021 DNC RNC pipe bomb suspect, and they're still offering that $500,000 reward. Now, in a statement posted on X, formerly Twitter, the FBI wrote, "The FBI is still offering a $500,000 reward for information that helps to identify the person who placed pipe bombs, plural, at the offices of the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, and the Republican National Committee, the RNC. That happened back on January 5th of 2021. Now, remember that date, January 5th, but it's 2021. That's been quite some time ago, right? So as part of the investigation, they're releasing an updated video of the suspect, and it includes previously unreleased footage, and that should get everybody's attention, and it's higher quality video, and the clips are longer as well. They're even showing the strides, the way the guy walks and stuff, hoping that something will click for somebody. The newly released video follows this bad guy's path through several Capitol Hill neighborhoods, and it goes in the Washington, D.C., and they give the time, it's 7:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m., so just a one-hour time frame on the night before the Capitol riot. And he can be seen carrying a backpack. He's placing explosive devices outside both party headquarters before he leaves the area. And according to the FBI, he's approximately 5'7" tall, wearing a gray hooded sweatshirt, black gloves, Nike Air Max Speed turf shoes. And it's amazing what they can tell, and with a yellow logo. And he also covered his face with a mask while carrying a backpack containing the devices. And at approximately 7:54, so just before 8 o'clock, He sits on a bench outside the DNC headquarters, and he puts one of the explosive device near that building. And then the second device is planted at the RNC about 8:16, and then he disappears from view. We had Dan Bongino talking on Fox News the other day about this and saying they're pretty confident that they're kind of narrowing in on the suspect. And the FBI has reviewed thousands of hours of video footage and hundreds of leads since the pipe bombs were first discovered. But, you know, we have not identified a suspect, which has been so unusual. But of course, we're really don't confuse what I'm talking about with Trump era. This is Biden era stuff, right? And I think that, to me, that's the flag, right? If this would have been under President Trump, his administration, we would have already had the bad guy, I suspect. But what do you guys think? Any new information? Any predictions on this one, Frank Loveridge?
Well, the first thing I want you to think about is the date. It was January 5th, 2021. Acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen, and you had Chris Wray as the FBI director. So the first thing to think about is, why would somebody put those bombs in those places? Why would they do this? Well, you know, the next day on January 6th was when Congress was getting ready to certify this election. And we also know about what happened at the U.S. Capitol with individuals getting inside the Capitol and everything that was going on. And eventually, the Republicans, led by Ted Cruz, standed down, and they didn't contest the election. And this went forward. Election got certified, and President Biden became the president. So with that intent, this person must have had knowledge of things that were going to happen the next day and had that in the back of his head when he was planting these devices to cause chaos and to divert authorities. The Capitol Police would stand fast, but you'd have all of Metro Police responding to that as well and drain all the resources of the following day. So this was nefarious. There's no doubt about it. The fact that Chris Wray and his FBI didn't seem to care about it. You didn't see a lot of press out there moving forward. You didn't see the intensity that you're going to see from the from Dan Bongino and Kash Patel. And I think that there's a lot to be investigated here, and I'm very suspicious of the intent of this whole incident.
Yeah, I'll pick up on that, Frank. I got to tell you, I think you chose your words very well when you said that Chris Wray and the FBI just didn't seem to care about it. Right. I mean, during the whole Biden crime family administration, that's exactly what we saw from the FBI, as well as a number of, you know, federal agencies as well. It's their incompetence and their lack of interest in doing anything real unless it somehow benefited, you know, the Biden administration. So I think you're right there. But the only good thing about this is, listen, it's really tough to maneuver through D.C. without passing cameras. Somebody somewhere is going to pick up a phone and say that they know this guy. They suspect who this guy may be. And, you know, the positive thing about this guy and all these homemade bomb builders is usually they end up blowing themselves up in their garage or their mother's basement as they're building these pipe bombs. And let's hope this ends the same way and, you know, minimal damage to the public.
Well, thanks, gentlemen.
Couldn't say it better. Yeah. And one thing to go ahead.
Well, I was going to say predictions on this. I mean, I suspect we're going to be covering this as new information comes out, but predictions on this?
I think the big prediction is, you know, given Kash Patel and Dan Bongino's aggressiveness, and even that, I'm hesitant to use the word aggressiveness. They're returning the Bureau to what it should have been to begin with, right? Get the job done, right? Somebody like this that's walking around the streets of D.C. with a backpack, leaving pipe bombs laying around, the FBI should have been on top of that immediately. So they'll capture this guy pretty quickly. They're not going to leave any leads, you know, unexhausted. So I think they'll find this guy pretty quickly. Or at least have some new information pretty quickly.
Yeah, and yeah. Richie, one thing to add too is they spent years trying to identify individuals that committed a misdemeanor by entering the U.S. Capitol, nonviolent people, and they went and they arrested them. A lot of them were patriots. A lot of people actually believed that the election was a fraud, and that's why they were there that day to protest. But whatever that be, whatever reason, the FBI's resources being diverted away from an open border, from terrorism that's entering our southern border, that's all over our country, and all of the crime that's going on in our central cities, and they were focusing on these misdemeanors at the January 6th White House event, or Capitol event, I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, and if the Bureau wasn't wasting resources sending multiple agents, right, to PTA meetings all over the country, maybe they would have had the resources to track down a bomb builder, right, which we're fixing that now. So
totally I totally agree.
You know, You mentioned about some people think that the election wasn't on the up and up. And look, I'm not even going to play around. I'm obviously on that bandwagon. It's not like we just had an election with Trump got elected. And I don't need you guys to comment on this, but it's not like we just had an election with Trump, having thought that for the last 4 years, and all of a sudden 6 million votes just freaking Democratic votes just disappear. Right. You know, I mean, it's just, I mean, come on. I mean, I don't know how dense people have to be before the light bulb goes off, but things happen for a reason.
As far as I'm concerned, you know, Donald Trump was elected president of the United States 3 times, right?
You're right. But you know, things happen. I mean, it's a God thing. There was a reason God had it go down in this order. Even though I would have liked it for him to have gotten, you know, the second time around, there's a reason why all this is happening. And now we're getting rid of a lot of corruption. So, there's a reason. So, I'm not going to question it. Hey, we got, 10 seconds. This commercial sneaking up on us, guys. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor at Gauls at Gauls.com. And you know, as police officers, we know we can get our gear from a lot of different sources. And then when you throw the online option, it's almost limitless, right? But I want to remind everybody about what's truly important here. And it's selecting a company that truly supports law enforcement. I don't know if a company does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. And listen to this. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. Not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. And so when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And I think Richie, I think you got a pair of tactical pants that you love. And I did too, and my new boots and stuff. You agree? I mean, they're fantastic, right?
I'm a big fan of Gauls. Great American company. Been around for, over 100 years? Yeah. Totally recommend ordering stuff from Gauls. Love it.
And we're going to give you a radio code, Radio15, to get 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com. Radio15, Gauls.com. All right, guys, now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. Of course, we all know by now that, you know, our favorite product they have is called the glove, and it's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And as far as the technology, it's called CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. And, you know, the glove achieving non-lethal results, that's really almost unheard of, because everybody calls them less lethal, and this is non-lethal. And when it comes to weapons retention, when you're transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by former Secret Service SACs Rich Scarapoli and Frank Loveridge. Now, when I say SACs, the people in law enforcement that used to work for the feds know it stands for Special Agent in Charge. It doesn't mean that they're being sacked or they're in a sack, or, you know, it's a formal title, but it's a huge designation. You're not just a special agent, a supervisory special agent, special agents in charge of very special people. At least that's what Rich and Frank tell me. So I just thought I would repeat that on the show. So I'm kidding. So anyhow, guys, we've been talking about, some pretty exciting stuff. We've been talking about, the pipe bomb that is the DNC, the RNC, and, we are getting ready to go to our next main topic. Are you guys ready to go to the hunting stand in West Palm Beach area? You ready to make that move? All right. So Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Our good friend Brian Burns runs that publication. I'm just going to read the three titles that we have. These are all from the Tampa Free Press. FBI investigating suspicious hunting stand found in sight line of Air Force One in Florida. That alone is going to grab your attention, right? And then increased precaution, Trump boards Air Force One via small stairs after Florida sniper position discovery. So they reframed it from a hunting stand to a sniper position discovery. And then the third and last one, FBI responds immediately after hunting stand. They go back to the hunting stand. I don't know how that happened. And I'm reading these in sequential order, but they go back to the hunting stand found near Air Force One at Florida Airport. So FBI Director Kash Patel ordered immediate response following discovery of this, it's not a hunting stand, but it's a sniper stand as far as I'm concerned. And it was a direct line of sight to Air Force One at the Palm Beach International Airport, according to FBI Deputy Director Dan Bongino said on Monday. And it was found on a Sunday, and it was during a security sweep before President Donald Trump left for Washington, D.C. following a weekend at Mar-a-Lago. So this happened, you know, weeks ago. We're covering it now. But of course, when you cover these things, same day, same hour, limited information. So we should have pretty good info at this stage in the game. And of course, we got our two experts on the show. Bongino appeared on Fox and Friends, and he's been talking about the pipe bomb. And he also talked about this, talked about that the security sweep included modifications made by Secret Service following the recent assassinations attempts. And, you know, even involving Charlie Kirk in the one or two, arguably, against Donald Trump. Bongino explained that while the Secret Service is responsible for presidential security, that the FBI is actually the entity that takes over the investigation of critical findings under a memorandum of understanding. And he goes on to talk about, you know, this stand that they found, it was dismantled, and they flew it to FBI headquarters or to the laboratory, at least anyhow. They're doing forensic investigations on that. He talked about digital and biometric tools and stuff. And so that's what we have. Rich, you want to start us off?
Yeah, I got to tell you, I followed this story pretty closely from the outset. And I think this is an opportunity for the Secret Service to be a little premature in taking a victory lap over finding this thing. Whether you call it a sniper stand, hunting stand, or a simple tree stand, for all we know, it's a 2x4 that some homeless guy put up in the tree just so he can sleep, right? But this story kind of came and went. What's been overlooked is the fact that this thing may have been up in that tree for a couple of months on the perimeter of an airport that only has three runways and only covers 3.2 square miles. This is not JFK Airport, but certainly not Dallas-Fort Worth, which covers a perimeter bigger than the island of Manhattan, almost 30 square miles. This thing, regardless of what you call it and what its intended use was, should have been found months ago. This is an airport that the president, high-ranking U.S. officials, the entire Trump family uses frequently to fly in and out of Florida. Yet this thing wasn't found until, the day before this last trip? That's unacceptable. The media is well aware of how this thing was blown out of proportion very quickly by the Secret Service in an effort to grab some good press. And which is why it dropped out of the press very quickly. I think that's not the issue of it being found. The issue is it should have been found a lot sooner, and it wasn't.
Thanks, Rich. Frank.
Well, I agree with everything Rich just said. First of all, to take a victory lap after finding that, when you've known that the president has gone in and out of that airport several times and it was not found, is inappropriate. And the media did realize that. We don't know what this thing was, if it was anything at all. It could have just been placed out there, maybe by some poachers out there. There is no hunting allowed in that area. We know that. We thought maybe it could be someone trying to get a better shot, a paparazzi or cameraman trying to get a picture of President Trump getting off Air Force One. But to climb up a tree and stand on a platform of that nature, I'm not sure that would be plausible to think that way. So we don't know what it is. But honestly, it all comes down to the placement of Air Force One. I mentioned this on another network. The airport agent is supposed to put Air Force One in Canton so that it is not vulnerable to a perimeter attack. So that should be done in the first place. Yes, using the small stairs does eliminate some of the line of sight. We've had to do that on some foreign trips, but we didn't like to do that. But they are doing that, take that precaution. But you shouldn't have to go that far. The Secret Service needs to do a better job at going out there and looking through the perimeter, searching it well, and then holding it. And let's find out who put that there. Look, possibly drone coverage that we might have on this. You can do mobile phone analytics to find out if there was anybody out there using a phone in that remote area. There are many things we can do investigatively, as well as taking the components apart and finding out where they were purchased. Maybe there's DNA. But then again, the person that put it there must have that DNA in a criminal database, which is difficult at sometimes to find. But that's okay. Let's do the work. Let's find out who put it there and make it go away. But it's too early to claim success at this point when you probably missed that several times.
Yeah, but ultimately, listen, it's the job of the Secret Service to cut down line of sight and prevent somebody from having clear line of sight where they can get a shot off from long range, right? That whole area should have been posted and dealt with months ago. And that tree stand, whatever you want to call it, should have been found long ago, right? The fact that you're now coming out saying, hey, we found this thing the day before a visit, unacceptable to me.
Yeah, Rich, absolutely. You're 100% right. And I'll tell you, you know, the thing about this is that the president comes in and out of there several times a month. So this is not just an in and out trip. This is someplace where if you use predictive analysis and you look at, if you're going to plan an attack you have predictive analysis that will tell you that he's going to be going there multiple times and gives you a chance to plan this attack. The in and outs, not so much. So these are the ones you have to put the extra effort into to making sure it's secure. And that's what needs to be done in the future.
All right.
Excellent coverage, guys, and appreciate everything. Hey, we got some pretty wild stories coming up, including our Ryder Cup story, so stay tuned for that. Time for our next commercial break, guys. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. The embodiments of duty rifle excellence now being tailored for the civilian. That means that now you guys can start getting your hands on some of this primo stuff. And their M5 AR 308 platform, nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Again, AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and I almost forgot to introduce myself. Hey, we've got Secret Service SACs, Rich Steripoli, and Frank Leverage on the show. Thank you, gentlemen. We've been we've been talking about a lot of Secret Service stuff and some FBI stuff that we need some clarity on. You guys providing it. Really appreciate that. It's nice to get not just guys running their mouth that don't know, that have no credibility what they're saying. You guys are the real deal. So that makes a huge difference. So thank you. I've got three update stories. The first one, I kind of find this one, it's very interesting, the Ryder Cup story. If you don't mind, I'll start off with this one. If you want to take anything out of order, let me know, but we should have time to cover all three. RVMnews.com, NYPD detective removed from Ryder Cup after a security breach incident. This stuff, I mean, I read these stories and I'm just like, part of me is saying, surely Frank or Rich is going to tell me that, Chip, they got the story wrong. There's no way that that could happen the way it's written. But I'm telling you, this is pretty alarming. It makes me almost laugh. I mean, the silliness in the Sony. Here we go. An NYPD detective. So number one, you normally consider NYPD like the tip of the spear. This guy's facing administrative charges after allegedly sneaking into the Ryder Cup golf tournament on Long Island by pretending to be part of the President Donald Trump's Secret Service security detail. And this is reported by the Gateway Pundit. So if that's not crazy enough, according to the New York Post, Detective Melvin Ng, ENG, 46 years old, attended the tournament in Farmingdale, and he was on sick leave. Boy, this guy's going to be in so much trouble. From the police department, he reportedly dressed in full tack gear, told others that he's working the security for the president. They didn't say anything about having that, you know, when we work secret service details, you know, we have that, you know, we have a, and I don't want to get too much information, but we have a special thing that we wear. They change on every operation. So they didn't say anything about that. Maybe that's how they discovered him. But they say the sources said that Ng's cover was blown after he accidentally dropped the gun magazine on the course. This guy was not the tip of the spear. Prompts a real security personnel to confront him. He drops a magazine on the course, and it wasn't like a reading magazine either, guys, for people listening to the show. He was then removed from the tournament. And here it goes on to say, hey, you're out sick. What are you doing at the Ryder Cup? One of the veteran officers tells the Post, and you can't do that. And it's theft of service because you went in for free and then you lied and said that you were working for Donald Trump. And Ng, you know, our bad guy cop here, who serves as the president, it couldn't get better. He serves as president of the NYPD Asian Jade Society. He's accused of theft of services because, of course, he's getting, he's supposed to be on sick leave, getting paid for being sick. And of course, he's lying about that. So it's theft of services. Gaining access to the tournament without paying and under false pretenses, NYPD documents confirmed that the incident resulted in internal charges. The alleged breach raised concerns about whether security at this security questions about the event. How do you get in? President Trump attended the Ryder Cup as part of the schedule, making the presence of unauthorized armed individuals a matter of concern for federal and local authorities. Ng's actions, it says, come on the heels of other recent lapses in security. It talks about earlier in the month, Secret Service agent fell asleep during the United Nations General Assembly in New York, which I did not know about, and he left his automatic rifle unattended. which I didn't know about. Commentary on this, guys, we got 7.5 minutes.
You know, listen, this type of thing used to go on all the time, especially in the larger cities like New York, where you get some pretty high profile visits, right? So the way I would deal with this is occasionally a cop would show up and he'd say, listen, I'd like to get closer, maybe to see the president or to get into the venue, or I want to bring my son in to meet the president. You know, there are ways to handle stuff like that. What's missing from this article, because this article doesn't do justice, this guy showed up in like half a uniform. Right. He's got his NYPD shirt on. He's got his gun belt on. And then he's wearing shorts and sneakers. Right. With the detective's badge. This should have been
serious? Shorts and sneakers.
Yeah. And this guy should have been picked up the minute he showed up. Who the hell's this guy with the gun on and half a uniform? This is ridiculous. So dropping that magazine, that was just one more thing for somebody to go, wait a minute. Who is this guy? What's going on here? But this is one of the reasons why, because these events bring people out of the woodwork and you can buy police uniforms and assemble your own uniform. And this happens with such frequency that for big events, the Secret Service actually has a credentialing unit that will come out and make a photograph specific credential for cops and emergency medical and the fire department, just so we know that everybody that's there is supposed to be there. And they're just not walking up to us, you know, out of the woods. Or walking on the proverbial golf course with a gun belt on, and they're going to blend in and become one of the 500 cops that are at the scene. You know, this happens all the time. I'll give you a great story. During the convention at Madison Square Garden, about a year before, we were making preparations. And the garden is where the New York Rangers play, and the ice was still on the rink. Well, we turn around, and one of the cops on the walkthrough laces up skates, climbs over the boards, and is skating on the ice at the garden. These people at the garden, now the Rangers are playing that night. The people at the garden went absolutely nuts. So you never know what people are going to do. And this is just one more incident in a whole long line of incidents of things that have gone on. But this guy should have been picked up immediately. If for no other reason than half the uniform. Frank, what do you got? I'm sure you've seen this.
Well, I have. And one of my biggest concerns here is complacency and attention to detail. We've talked about this, Rich. We have to be very careful with what's going on right now in the Secret Service with attrition and lack of manpower. We're using more local and state police officers to help us. We're outsourcing some of our protective methodology. And when we do that, we have to make sure we know who everybody is, just like we should have known they were supposed to be on a team on top of the AGR building in Butler that wasn't there. So in other words, we've got to be better at this, because if someone gets in a police uniform, most likely they have a weapon. How close can they get to our protectees? And if that's the case, our threat is right on top of us. We've got to make sure that our inner perimeter is tight, that we know everybody who's inside that inner perimeter, and that we're checking other individuals that are working the exterior to make sure they're authorized to be where they're supposed to be. And I like what you're saying, credentialing, but a uniform isn't good enough. Because you know as well as I do, you can purchase a uniform, you can put all the tactical gear on, you can get it from Galls, our favorite sponsor, not our favorite sponsor, but a great sponsor. And I'll tell you right now, the bottom line comes down to this. We have to make sure we know who these people are, because this individual penetrated our site, whether you like it or not, and was in close proximity where a protectee could have been, and it could have been for nefarious reasons. So there you go. That's my take.
Yep. I'd have to say, if I was, they call them commissioners in New York. I would have to find a way to fire this guy. I mean, this is not just, this is so bad. It's the shorts and tennis shoes. And then what about the agent that fell asleep with the gun? And I don't know if you guys have any scoop on that, but I hadn't even heard of that one.
Yeah. So listen, I was the UN site agent for 5 years. So everything from First Avenue, from 42nd Street to just about 51st Street is completely locked down, right? There's thousands of cops, every piece of apparatus you could possibly want. As you go away from the United Nations, you get fewer and fewer. This guy was sitting on 2nd Avenue, you know, a block and a half away from the United Nations at a checkpoint, fell asleep. Apparently, he's photographed by the cops. He's got his weapon on a sling. At some point, he decides, you know what? I got to use the men's room and get something to drink. Gets up, leaves an unattended, fully loaded M4, which is, you know, the Secret Service carries weapons that are able to fire full auto. So it's a fully automatic weapon, unattended, in full view. There's traffic going down 2nd Avenue. There's who knows who's standing around there. And he just disappears. Well, he disappeared long enough for the cops to take pictures of the thing. So I'm not exaggerating any of this. This is totally photographed and it's a big deal. And, you know, he's claiming because he's a minority, you know, that's what led to this issue.
Of course.
I'm saying, no, you're just a moron for leaving a weapon unattended. You got to be kidding me. There's no excuse for this. But yeah, that actually happened.
Wow. Yeah. I wish the cops that were taking pictures would have taken the rifle and filmed them from a distance after he came back. And that would have been great.
I gotta tell you, I don't know what they were thinking, but I would have taken the gun just to see what the guys are gonna do. What are you gonna do?
That's what I'm thinking. I would have taken the gun and just freaking left and then started filming, you know. Yep. Oh gee. Yep. All right. We're down to less than two minutes. Final words on this one, Frank, before we move on.
I was just going to say, Richie, the common denominator in all of these issues is complacency. We talked about it in Butler. We talked about it in Mar-a-Lago. We just talked about it at the UN General Assembly. We're being complacent in our protective methodology, and that is leading to these problems. That's how a gun gets into an event, which just happened at a golf course just recently when it got through screening. And the individual was so upset that he brought the weapon in and it wasn't detected. He came back and informed the Secret Service that he came in with a weapon. And you look at the rangefinder in Butler, same thing. Complacency.
Well, we'll take them out of order since you just brought that one up. Newsmax.com, Secret Service agent. Let's just talk about trying to sneak in his wife on a truck. So I think that other one that you just talked about, I think that we talked about that previously, maybe before you guys were on the show. So, but yeah, that happened. And now we got this, Secret Service agent tried to sneak his wife on the Trump support plane. That is not the one I'm looking for. The one I want is this next one here. Man arrested for allegedly aiming laser at Marine One with President Trump on board. I'm going to go through a little bit of this before we take our next commercial break, but federal agents arrested this guy for allegedly aiming a red laser beam at Marine One carrying President Trump. And according to the court filings, authorities identified the guy as Jacob Samuel Winkler. And it happened when the presidential helicopter lifted off from the White House grounds. The laser posed a threat of flash blindness and pilot disorientation, and especially due to the low altitude and proximity of other planes. So that happened. We're going to cover that when we come back from commercial break. Stick with us, guys. It's getting good. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we're talking about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. It's law enforcement officers. We deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending the live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, certified, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, if you have your own agency, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you. You can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Amazing opportunity to go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Again, it's GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by former Secret Service Special Agents in Charge Rich Steripoli and Frank Loveridge. And guys, let me just mention that we are trying to do a gold skip card giveaway today. If you haven't won in the last 90 days, simply type in the word GALLS, that is G-A-L-L-S, and your email address if you want to be considered for the win. And we have not had enough entries yet, so if you're watching the stream, type that in order to enter. You know, we left off talking about a story, man arrested for allegedly aiming laser at Marine One while President Trump was on board. And federal agents have already arrested this guy. And his name is Jacob Samuel Winkler. And it happened when the presidential helicopter lifted off from the White House grounds and the laser posed a threat to the pilot, you know, blindness, disorientation. The Secret Service personnel on the ground reportedly observed this guy, Winkler, who was shirtless, loud and talking to himself. I'm sorry for laughing. He's walking along Constitution Avenue. So as Marine One passes overhead, an officer shines a flashlight at him, and Winkler allegedly retaliated by aiming the laser into the officer's eyes, temporarily blinding him. And then he redirects the beam where? At the presidential helicopter. Not too bright. So the officers quickly detain this guy. He drops to his knees and stated, I should apologize to Donald Trump, and I apologize to Donald Trump. Agents recovered a red laser pointer, a fixed blade knife. He later admitted to aiming the device at the aircraft, claimed that he didn't know that he he could not point the laser at Marine One. Well, I guess he found out the hard way. He was charged with knowingly aiming the beam of a laser pointer at an aircraft under U.S. jurisdiction. And that is, gentlemen, as you know, a federal offense. And he waived his right to legal counsel during the questioning. So not the sharpest tool in the shed. So any commentary on this? I have read recently where it's taken pilots. I mean, some people have not been able to recover, like some vision loss from stuff like this. And sometimes it'll take days, or they'll have to go for medical evaluation before they release them to fly again. It's apparently a pretty serious thing, this red laser thing. So, I mean, it's people that hear this and think, you know, there's a difference between a laser beam and like an infrared light. You know, the laser is what we're talking about. And that is like, that's some nasty stuff. So if there's no commentary in this, guys, we have another one that is on hold that I will jump to then. And it is, of course, our Secret Service agent trying to sneak his wife on the Trump support plane. This is at Newsmax.com. So they were investigating this. The agent tried to smuggle his wife onto support plane. It was accompanying President Donald Trump on his trip to Scotland. And a reporter for Real Clear Politics said, thank you, Rich Steripoli, for hooking me up with Real Clear Politics. Now, the agent who's based in Dallas is a new trainee. So that's the first flag, right? And this is according to Susan Crabtree. She's writing this on social media. The agent had been written up multiple times already for misconduct at the D.C. area's Rally Training Center, according to Crabtree. So that's the second flag. He hasn't been around. He's still new, and he's already been written up multiple times. The agent flew his wife to Maryland, and she received the official Secret Service briefing at the hotel. She rides the bus over to the visitor lounge of the Joint Base Andrews. And then she is discovered and told to leave. And this is what five, not one, not two, but five Secret Service sources told Crabtree. The agent, quote, can wash out if he'd if held to proper standards, according to two sources in the Secret Service community, according to Crabtree. And in a statement, the Secret Service said that it was investigating the U.S. Secret Service is conducting a personal investigation after an employee attempted to invite his spouse, who is also a member of the United States Air Force, aboard a mission support flight. And the aircraft, it said, operated by the U.S. Air Force, was being used by the Secret Service to transport personnel and equipment. And it just goes on to talk about some really non-important stuff, but it's saying it was really, other than being in the support plane, they didn't really directly impact the overseas protective operations for the Secret Service. So any commentary on that, guys? We've got about 5.5 minutes. Frank Loveridge.
Well, I would say that, first of all, I was a captain in the Air Force, an officer, and that didn't entitle me to fly on any of the Air Force One aircraft or any other aircraft that supported that mission. So let's get that clarified right now. Second of all, we've seen a lot of this type of behavior with some of these individuals that have been hired in the last, I'd say, 10 years, behavior where Rich and I would have never, ever thought this could even happen. Where somebody would have their wife attend a briefing. And first of all, how did she get into that briefing is the first question I have. And then second question is, how did she get on the aircraft that's manifested? Or if she got on the aircraft or was in the process of getting on, she was pretty close to getting on. And this is a problem because it shows a lack of discipline and once again, a lack of attention to detail. This was a huge error, but let's take it back to RTC, the Raleigh Training Center. This person was identified as someone that did not belong on this job, but was allowed to move forward and actually get his weapon and commission book and serve. That is a huge problem. We need to do a better job at hiring these people, training these people, and not everybody should graduate RTC. There's 24 in a class. You shouldn't have 24 people getting through. And I've said that a million times. So the thing is that we've got to do a better job across the board. And let's get back to the attention to detail and let's earn the pride of the America we have in that organization. And let's serve the American people like we were supposed to serve them, not let them down. Go ahead, Richie.
Yeah, this is an absolute disgrace. I don't care what the Secret Service says about how they're doing their personnel investigation. This guy should have been fired the moment he became a problem and surfaced on every instructor's radar screen at the Raleigh Training Center. Right. You don't bring your wife or your kids with you. This isn't take your family to work day. Right. This isn't that kind of job. We're not tellers in a bank or school teachers where the kid can sit in the back of the room and watch what's going on. You're a freaking Secret Service agent. What are you doing? You know, so there's just no possibility of any legitimate excuse for any of this type of behavior. this guy needs to be fired, as well as a whole bunch of other folks as well. But the big deal is, you know, at least he didn't leave his weapon on the ground at Andrews Air Force Base.
Wow. I know. Unbelievable.
Rich and I were at the training center together, and we trained these agents. I worked in investigations, and I also worked over in the physical skills section. Richie was out there training the counter assault and everyone else that was going on out there. Took over job in operations. We know what we saw out there, and we've seen a decline in the people that are attending that training center coming on this job. We both know that for a fact. So the bottom line is that's where we have to start. And once again, going back to our hiring process to get the right people on this job.
When I went through counter assault school, speaking about numbers, you start day one with 24 people because that's how many points there are on the range. After the first week, we were down to 11, right? So that's probably the only place left at the Secret Service that still has standards, and they're serious about that. If you can't meet the minimum criteria, they're going to throw you out. That's the way it goes. No offense to that. That's just the way it is.
Absolutely, well, guys, right, Rich. Go ahead.
I was going to say, great commentary. We've got less than 2 minutes, and I'd like to cover the taser video, if that's okay. I'd like to get your input on this because I know you guys are like me. You love the good applications of the taser. So this story, and it's going to be the only video portion that we're going to cover today, but Marion County deputy uses a taser to arrest a wanted felony suspect who walked away from a traffic stop.
Man, we're stepped out. Hey, Zycarius. Hey, come here. Zycarius, how do you say it? Let me see your hands. Hey, let me see your hands. Stop right there. Who's in the vehicle? Who else is in the vehicle? Who are you? What's your name? Come. Hey. Stay right there. Stay right there. Stay right there. Hey, do not go.
Brother, you're under arrest. Stop. Stop or you're going to get tased. Stop or you're going to get tased.
What am I under arrest for?
Put your hands behind your back right now. Put your hands behind your back. You can get it. Put your hands behind your back. Get him. Get his hands.
Put your hands.
Get your hands. Now.
I can't breathe. Pull your right hand out.
I'm not doing that. Why y'all? What's on taser? Shame
him.
What did I do?
You're not listening to me.
What's on taser? Me two times. I'll put my hand in my...
So we're at Marion County, which is in Florida, where I'm at, and we have Deputy Gents and LaFountain. They go to this warehouse, ID Logistics, and they got information that there's a guy with a felony warrant there, Jakiris Martin, and they see this guy leaving the parking lot, and he gets in a vehicle, and they stop it. He stops in a parking lot at a stop sign. He gets out, and then he doesn't comply with the demands of the deputy, and he starts to walk away. And the deputy doesn't take a lot of time. The deputy does a taser deployment, nails the guy. The guy freaking face plants, and then he keeps the taser on the guy. Does another cycle, and then the other cops, the cavalry, comes up and they're standing there. And goes, hey guys, go hands on. And you know you can go hands on with a dude that's got the probes in him. As long as you know where to put your hands, you're good to go. So they do a great 3-point pin, knee right across the guy's shoulder blades and back and stuff, and get him handcuffed, which is the way it's supposed to go down. And then the guy, I'm looking at his rap sheet: robbery, home invasion, destroying evidence, weapons, kidnapping, obstruction, impersonating, grand theft, impersonating an officer. It goes on and on. Home invasion with a firearm. Any observations on that taser deployment, Rich?
I got to tell you, I thought the deputy did a great job, as well as the responding deputies, right? From the get-go, when you tell somebody, hey, you give somebody instructions and they refuse to comply, right away, it should go off in your head. This is going to be a problem, or this guy has been a problem previously, and I thought they did a good job.
All right, excellent. That's what I want to hear. Frank, you agree?
I totally agree. Totally agree. Every one of these incidents, disobeying an officer, resisting arrest, not complying with the officer, that's always the common denominator with all these situations. Bravo to the deputy.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, 99.9% of all these bad interactions with police, they start off with noncompliance, period. Hey, Rich Derpoli, Frank Lovrich, you guys have killed it today. Now we understand why you guys can't normally not appear together on national media, but we're glad that we kind of like lower the standards to allow you guys to appear together on our show. So thank you guys so much. Hey, I usually take this time to talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3, helping cops out in a world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD. So please check into supporting the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. A shout out to our sponsors, Gauls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, Gunler.com, and Medicare.life. Safe Web Recruiting, Two Bells, and Fisher, Orlando Bass. We'll see you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.